Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see all of you and all you foreigners that came from far places. Good to see you all, too. Well, I guess it's stating the obvious to say that we all deal with many upsetting things in our lives. I mean, if you watch the news for 5 minutes, and you'll see how upset you can get about the mindless destruction of our nation. But in addition, you may be dealing with other things that are particularly upsetting, such as you may have aging problems. Surely no one in here does. Perhaps job problems or business problems, marital problems, health problems, child-rearing problems, financial problems, inner family problems, among many other concerns. Now, these are all valid concerns. I mean, we all live in the world and we have to deal with some or of these things certainly during our life at one time or another. And they have to be dealt with. So they are important. So what I'm going to say, you know, following all this is not to leave that unsaid. Well, did Christ's disciples have such concerns? You know, the guys that he called initially and was working with, Peter, John, and the rest. Did they have any of those sorts of concerns they had to deal with in their life? And if so, what did Christ tell them about their concerns? What did he instruct them concerning those things? Well, today, let's look at one example of this to see what Christ told the disciples in relation to a large concern of theirs. Well, you're just out of luck. I forgot to turn on my little thingy. So, who knows how long this will run? Well, before looking at the event I'm referring to in Scripture, keep in mind just a little background. Judah, at the time of Christ on the earth, was a conquered nation, conquered by the Romans. So they had to deal with that day in and day out. Now, there were some advantages to have the Romans around. They had a form of peace called Pax Romana, which means peace because I'm bigger than you are and I'll flatten you if you don't get along peaceably with everybody else. So that was kind of a nice side benefit, I guess you could help say. That helped with the general economic stability. So there were a few benefits to Roman rule, but a lot of it was onerous. It was heavy. It was difficult. So the Jews in Christ's day chafed under Roman rule. They didn't like being dominated by a foreign power. They hated it. So it was a major concern for most Jews at that time. Now, have you ever had somebody that you thought a lot of, maybe they're going to go away on a long, long trip, or maybe, you know, they're on their deathbed or whatever, but they say a few words or they tell you something that just strikes you as very poignant, very important. It just strikes you, and you remember those words for a very long time. Kind of this situation here. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Because these words were spoken by Jesus Christ. Of course, this is after his crucifixion. But he was still on earth, and he spoke these words to his disciples. And you find them in several different places in Scripture. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 and begin in verse 6. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, meaning Christ and the disciples, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, if you read the commentaries, most of them, they run right off into the kingdom of God and all of this. But much more on their mind, you notice the word restore. Kingdom of God couldn't have been restored because it hadn't been and still isn't to this day, not on this planet. So they were talking about the time when Israel was in its dominant stage, you might say. They were rich and wealthy under David and Solomon particularly. A lot of countries or nations, kingdoms, paid them tribute. They were a force to be reckoned with in the Middle East in that time. So they wanted to know, will you at this time, knowing that Christ would come and restore things, would you restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, and he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So it was an important issue for the Jews, for those Jews. It was really important. They wanted to know this because they had to live with it every day. But Christ simply said, well, that's in the Father's hands, and he's not going to give a press conference along the way to kind of clue you in as to what's going on, when, and how. That's entirely according to his will and his time frame that he's using. That's the first thing he said. And then second, in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So in verse 6, like I say, they were referring to that autonomy that Israel had back in the day, we would say, and the power they enjoyed as a nation. But in verse 7, they were told that, and you know, this is where we come in. Because he's speaking to those disciples. They're not yet apostles. They're not yet converted. But he's speaking to them, teaching them, training them. This is right before he goes and ascends to heaven, right hand of his Father. So he's doing this for them, giving them some last minute instruction. And it's just like us, because here we are in the life that we've been called to, given God's Holy Spirit, our calling, all of these things. And when we ask God to intervene, just like the disciples were wanting to know about God's intervention, restoring the kingdom to Israel, do we know what God is going to do ahead of time? I mean, we say we ask for healing. Okay, it's a valid thing. He says, go to the elders, be anointed, blah, 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 right? Sure, we all know those scriptures. But do we know the outcome? Do we know what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and when he's going to do it, or that he's not going to do it, or some other thing where you need his intervention? So the same thing, these scriptures here talking to these disciples doesn't mean it was only directed to them. This is, you can find other scriptures in the Bible that talk about the same thing, only dealing with, we would say, the brethren. So he's talking to us here as well, that it is according to his will what he would do and when and how. And until then, we wait. And that's hard for us puny little humans to wait. And then, of course, in verse 8, he tells us as well that through God's Holy Spirit, and that's what he was telling them back over here in verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, where the rest of the tribes of Israel wound up and at that time were covered up, you might say, scattered, and to the ends of the ends of the earth. So this was the process that was going to happen, and that's what he's telling us, that through God's Holy Spirit we'll have the power. Through the mind that he gives us, we will have that ability to change our lives through our own decisions. He gives us all that we need, but his Spirit is what he was referring to them, that they needed to be in Pentecost on that particular time and date and location to receive God's Spirit. And that's what's happened with us as well. And that is so the world may see, and talking about us, they'll see us as witnesses of God's power. Not witnesses like the disciples were witnesses of Christ and all of his activities, because they were there, we weren't. They can personally say, yeah, I saw this, I heard this. We can't. But the world can see us as witnesses to God's power, to his way of life, to living this way, demonstrating that way. We're witnesses of that, certainly, because we've seen it, we know it works, and we willingly live that way. His words, like I say, you can find a few more words before he left them. I want to go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 4. I lost Matthew. Where'd they put it? Oh, there it is. Matthew 28, beginning verse 19. Actually, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So here Christ is telling them about the ongoing work that the church would be involved in down until the end of man's age, man's rule on this planet. And that those called by God will receive his Holy Spirit, and through it will be able to obey him in all that he commands. So again, that we can be witnesses of that way of life until the end of man's rule on this earth. So these were the few words that Christ spoke to them before. He said, I know you have concerns. I know there are big problems facing you in your life. I know that. And he's telling all of us the same thing. He said, but that's in the Father's hands. You've prayed to God. You've asked God to intervene. He will deal with those things as he wills. But in the meantime, you're being imbued with power from on high. We have that seed of eternal life within us, those of us that have been baptized and hands laid on. And we are going to be growing in mind and character of God, in our hearts and minds, developing, becoming like he is more and more as time goes on, which is what we're to do so that we can show anyone else that wants to pay attention what's going on, that there is something different here. They may not hear claps of thunder and see him returning in the clouds right away, but they know through us that somehow this is a little different than what I've run into before. You probably had people even approach you and say, you know, there's something, you just do things a little differently, and just something different than the run-of-the-mill things that I run into all the time. And what's that about? Doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally it does. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Witnesses of that way of life. So the day of Pentecost does celebrate and commemorates the event of God's Spirit being given to the church, given to those whom he calls. And that's coming up just a week from tomorrow. So we're to focus on using God's Holy Spirit. That's what he wants us to do. Not get so caught up in our own concerns and things going on around us that we're pulled so much away that we've just become too distracted to focus on the very important thing that he has given us. The thing that ultimately the whole world will be glad that he has given in this way. So we will be growing in that grace of Jesus Christ so that others may first see and then later experience God's purpose and his plan for all mankind.